Yeah. Oh. Everybody knows more about it than I do, so yeah. Anyway, we're going to be in the third chapter, again, of 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there again, verses 1 through 6. And let me invite the men out on Saturday morning. Don't forget, guys, we have that Saturday morning men's Bible study. We're on the fourth week of a six-week study, and we're talking about the gospel. So come out and invite some friends with you. We appreciate you coming out. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you again that we can come this evening and just pause in our busy week and to consider the Word and consider you and think about you and reorient ourselves to the truth and the facts and the Bible and the things that Paul's been saying in 2 Corinthians. We pray that you continue to bless here and bless our fellowship. Father, help us connect to one another and see the value in every member of the body of Christ. That is important that we gather together. That's important that we fellowship together. It's important that we study the Word together and hold one another accountable and love each other and be available to pray. And all these things are just vital biblically to the edification and maturing of all of us as Christians. We ask you to reach out through us. We pray regarding those who responded on Sunday morning to the gospel, and we just pray that you would help them to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And we pray that not only for those in our fellowship that responded, but we pray across the board that other churches or other places where people made some commitment to Christ, we ask your blessing upon them, Lord, that you would, you're ultimately the one that disciples us. You're the one that is with us 24/7. The Holy Spirit's the one coming inside of us, guides us into all truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, I don't want to be too redundant, but I'm going to be redundant tonight. But Paul is defending his ministry. I mentioned before that 2 Corinthians is primarily a defense of Paul's work, his ministry, and I've said before that it was because of the connection between himself and the gospel. I mentioned before if you can undermine a person's character, undermine a person's motive, whatever it may be, try to, well, we see that all across the board in politics, you know. But if you can sort of undermine a person's character, then you undermine the message that they are there to preach. And so that was what was happening in the life of Paul. And so in this third chapter, we're looking at verses 1 through 6. Let's read that. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of the flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ to God, toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So in this third chapter, Paul is again just bringing up his defense regarding his ministry, what God has already done. And so he's bringing that to their attention and defending himself as a called apostle. Am I on or off? Oh, I heard somebody say something. I thought maybe I sound like it changed the volume. So good. I'm still on. Okay, look, first of all, if you will, let me get my clicker here. There you go. Look in verses 1 through 3. Paul's going to validate his ministry through the fact that he's not looking to men to do that. Verse 1 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles? An epistle is simply a letter. Letters of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you. Do we need some letter? I mentioned in our study, the first chapter, sometimes you go into someone's office or someone's whatever, and you see in the behind the desk, you know, graduated from whatever. And so that is a sign that the person may be qualified. I mean, you can have all of those you want. I know there are scams out there. You can almost get any of those kind of things from anywhere for $10, I think. So anyway, but Paul's making this statement. Do we need some letter to validate our ministry? Do we need somebody to write something saying, you know, I want to stand up for Paul or whatever it may be? He's legit. Now, I will say in our lives, when you don't know somebody and you want to make sure they're solid, you oftentimes go back in their history and their past and you ask about, you know, do you know this person? Have they been faithful? Have they done a good job? Are they solid? Whatever it may be. That's important. But, of course, the church of Corinth knew Paul. He knew Paul. They knew Paul before they knew these other guys that were coming behind Paul and undermining his ministry. And so it's very interesting what had happened because of the fact that God had called him. So he makes that statement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, here's what it says. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or of man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self. Very interesting statement. I'll follow up in a minute just on the next verse. But he makes a statement, you know, I'm not impressed with people, you know, people coming and saying, I'm vouching for so-and-so. You know, in our study in that first chapter and our second chapter too, we talked about the only proof, and we'll get into this in our study, of anyone's ministry is the anointing of the Spirit. So it's almost like, you know, going to a, you know, you need somebody to do work on your car. And you want to make sure they know what they're doing. I mean, they can have all the little things, they graduated from this mechanic school and all that, but how long have you been working on cars? Well, a couple of weeks, you know. I mean, practically, but you want to make sure, but if you have somebody that doesn't have any of that, but they've been working on cars for 30 years and they can fix about anything, you know, you go with whatever. I've had people come to me over the years and they're saying, you know, I've got some surgery and I've got this Christian doctor that, you know, is maybe pretty new in the field. And here we got this old guy that I don't know where he's coming from spiritually. And I say, well, I want someone who knows what they're doing. You know, I don't care if they're Christian or not. I mean, just because they're Christian doesn't mean they're going to do a good job. Now, please understand what I'm saying, okay? But don't you want someone working on you that knows what they're doing as opposed to, well, he's a Christian. We just pray that God would give him grace, you know? I mean, we need that anyway, right? But it's the whole point of the matter. Paul is saying we don't need people to give us a stamp of approval. I don't need somebody to vouch for me. You know, I've been around you guys. I've spent years, you know, a year and 6 months Paul had been there in Corinth. He'd been there. He talked to them. They'd seen his life. They'd watched his life. You know, they'd seen what he said. They saw how he lived. They saw his heart. He was able to stand there and talk to them and to pour out his soul to them. And, you know, all the things that he did, even his writing to them, you know, he mentioned the fact that with much tears, he had sent that first letter. He knew it was a very hard letter for them to receive. So all that, he's pouring out his life. He's pouring out his heart to these guys. So in other words, you know, why after all this do I need somebody to vouch for me or to put their stamp of approval? I'm not looking the man to do that. I don't want somebody's approval. And that's what Paul is saying there. Think about what I'm saying. We want to see God. How does God approve? How does God, he's going to get into that in a minute, but how does God show his approval? And you and I need to understand that there are a lot of people who have all kind of things they say. You know, they say things like, well, God told me this and God told me that. Well, you know, that doesn't make it, he didn't tell me anything. You know, I want to see the hand of God on your life. I want to see the Lord in your life, not just you say that. Now, maybe God has told you those things. I'm not saying he hasn't. God does speak to us from time to time. But we just have to be very careful. We're not taking someone's word for things, but rather we're seeing their lives. And so Paul makes this statement. It's a very small thing that I'm judged by you or of man's judgment. So the fact that you guys are complaining or these guys are, you know, downgrading me, or another way to say that is this. When you go into the ministry, you're always going to be downgraded. I mean, you can't do something and follow Jesus and have, you know, what did Jesus say? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. I mean, you know, it's like if someone's speaking well of you, there may be a problem, okay? I had someone one time came to our church and said, I heard some negative things about your church, and I'm afraid that's, I probably need to go there. So I was thankful, I guess, you know. I'm not saying there aren't negative things, but you know what I mean. Okay, so Paul is making that statement. Look, if you will, in verse 2. Paul's validation of ministry ultimately is transformed lives. Look what he says here in verse 2. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. So you want some letter of recommendation? You want some letter of commendation? You want some letter of validation? You are the living epistle. You're the individuals that have been affected by our ministry. What proof do you want that I've been called? What proof do you need that I've truly been called? That's what he's saying there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2 says, if I am not an epistle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. Then he makes this, an apostle to others. For he says, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. See what he's saying? In other words, you want to know if I'm a good mechanic? Here's 50 people that have cars that have been fixed, and let them tell you. You know, that's what he's saying, not some letter that's behind my desk. That's what he's saying in the second verse. Transformed lives are the proof. Or another way to say that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Who transforms lives? God does. You and I can't transform anybody's life. You and I can't cause a person to repent or to help an individual understand the word. Or you and I can't draw people to Jesus. That's the work of the Spirit. All we can do is present the God. It's the Lord that does all these things. So ultimately what Paul is saying is we've got to learn to recognize God at work versus just people making statements. Or another way to say that is we've got to make sure we're looking at seeing God work versus people that, in like Paul's case, are running Paul down and criticizing him and claiming he's not a legitimate apostle. You know, and that's what was going on here. And so he makes a statement, the transformed lives of those that I've ministered to. Look what God did in Corinth. Paul was the one that was the initiator. He was the apostle. He was the one that was sent out by God from the church of Antioch to go into the Corinth and to preach the gospel. And the seal of his apostleship were the changed lives of the people that were affected by him. Why? The Holy Spirit moved through Paul. The Holy Spirit anointed him. The Holy Spirit, you know, when he preached, you know, God worked. And that was the seal. That was the sign. That was the evidence. That was the validation of his ministry. And so Paul is making that statement. You know, if I'm not an apostle to others yet, doubtless I am to you. Why am I an apostle to you? He makes a statement. For you are the seal of my apostleship, or the sign. The word seal is a stamp of approval. It's the evidence. It's the mark. We talk about in our gospel at men's study on Saturday morning, we talk about the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal that God gives us to validate the fact that we're believers. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And so Paul makes it very clear that the transformed lives is my validation, and you guys know that you saw God work in my life. So it's amazing how people can, we take what people say more than what people do. You ever notice that? We do that all the time. We, you know, someone says, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm not concerned with what you say. I want to know what you do. I want to see your Christianity. I want to see Jesus in you, not just I'm a believer. You know, I want to see the Lord. In other words, the Lord makes a difference in our lives. The Lord is there in our lives. The Lord impacts our lives. He lives in us, Christ in us, hope of glory. And isn't a believer someone in whom the Holy Spirit resides? Isn't the Holy Spirit someone who's been transformed and transformed by the grace of God into a new creation? And Christ dwells in our hearts by faith? And isn't there evidence that that's true simply by the fact that he lives in us and he makes an impact on us and he's impacting others through us? Aren't we supposed to be salt and light? The whole point of salt and light, Jesus said, is to impact the lives of those around him. And that's what Paul was doing. And he was saying, you want some kind of valid, what, you need a letter? Signed by who? And so these guys were coming behind and saying, basically, where's Paul's letter of recommendation from, you know, whatever? And they were running down Paul and saying, he doesn't have any degree. I mean, where's he been graduated from? And I'm just saying that to you only because this is the attack upon Paul and the fact that he had to come and stand up for the fact that his ministry was legit, that God had worked in his life and through his life and impacted the church of Corinth as well as many, many other places he'd been, and that was the proof of his ministry. You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Then look in verse 3. Christ moving through. Look in verse 3. What does he say? He says in verse 3, clearly you are an epistle of Christ. This is the way Jesus writes his letters. Or think about this, our testimony. What is our testimony? Our testimony is the seal. Christ has written his letter of approval in our lives by doing what? By transforming us. That's why we overcome Satan. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And thirdly, we don't love our lives even to death. We're going to follow Jesus no matter what happens. And that's how we overcome the devil. But part of that is the testimony. The testimony of Jesus affecting us changes everything. I was in a Bible study this morning over at Phoenix, you know, the assisted living place. And one of the things we were talking there about these kind of things, and I just made the statement, you know, when Jesus was risen from the dead and these people met him, that knew him, I mean, it changed their life. I mean, it ought to have been very obvious that something's happened. I mean, they may be delusional, okay, but something's happened. Because they're not coming back saying, oh, by the way, we met Jesus beside the tomb. I mean, they are going from the pit of depression, discouragement, defeat, to the height of an amazing revelation that Christ is alive, that he's the Son of God, that he met us, talked to us, revealed himself to us. And all I'm saying that is not because of what they're saying, but you can look at their lives and tell. You can listen to their voices and tell that they believe that he's alive, whether we do or not. But they believe it because they are telling us that they met him and talked to him. Do you see my point? So you can say what you want about these soldiers, you know, saying that the apostles came in or the disciples came and stole the body. But we're hearing people that are standing up there risking their lives saying that we talked to him after he was crucified and buried. And that's the difference. That's what he's saying in verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. You are a work of God's Spirit, another way to say that is. The Holy Spirit has changed you. You're not the same as you used to be. Especially in Corinth, because of the atmosphere of Corinth and all the things that happened, the evil, the wickedness of that city. It's a very, very perverted city. Secondly, he also mentions not only has God given fruit through us, but it's through anointed vessels. Look what he says in verse 3 again. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. Then he said, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. In other words, God used that. We were the vessels that God used, but it was the Lord that did the work in your life. What is he saying? I mean, do you want a letter that has been signed by somebody saying, I validate this guy's ministry? Or do you want the Holy Spirit moving through an individual's life and impacting the lives of others? You talk about validation. You can't get any greater validation than that. And that's what Paul is saying there. He said this whole thing, you're an epistle of Christ ministered by us. We're the vessels, but written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. You know, and I've said before, what is ministry? Ministry is the Spirit of God moving through somebody. Ministry is not just doing stuff. Real ministry, spiritual ministry, biblical ministry is God doing the work in however he wants to do it. But ministry is when you and I are the vessels that he uses to impact the lives of others, even if no one's changed. And what I mean by that is like Jeremiah. Jeremiah was preaching in Jerusalem and we didn't see any converts, but the Holy Spirit was definitely moving through Jeremiah's life and ministry. And so we don't see a lot of fruit in his life because of the condition of the hearts of the people and their determination to rebel against God and not listen to him. But there's no doubt by the reaction of the religious people there and all the other people that they hated Jeremiah and they wanted to kill him. Well, that's one of the signs that God was moving. You know, they couldn't take it. So I'm saying that these anointed vessels, again, that's God's stamp of approval. That's God's validation of ministry. And it's important. Why? Because think about it like this. Don't you want the Lord to validate your ministry? Or another way to say that is, are you depending on the Holy Spirit to accomplish whatever God wants you to do? Are you looking to the Lord or are you looking to yourself? Are you trying to prove something to somebody? We're not here trying to prove anything to anybody, I hope. All we want to do is follow Jesus. God's the one who sets his seal. God's the one who sets the sign of his approval. By what? By the Holy Spirit moving through our lives. So when the Bible says that we're salt or we're light, I mean, that salt and light is ultimately the Lord moving through us. The Bible says he's put this treasure where? In earthen vessels. So that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Because we know if the Lord's working and they're having to deal with the Lord in us, then they can't deal with that. Well, what are you saying? I mean, you can say I don't believe it all you want, but facts are facts. Transformed lives are transformed lives. The impact that God made in Corinth was enormous and very pronounced and very obvious and very evident. So for anybody to come back and say, well, this was illegit, or it wasn't really real, or it was just a fake thing, or Paul, whatever it may be, it was just absolute garbage. And the devil's tricks have always been the same. Paul's going to get back to this later on in our study of 2 Corinthians about the fact that even Satan himself, it's no marvel, Satan himself transforms his ministers as false apostles. They're transformed into angels of light. But they're deceiving and being deceived. So they're false apostles. Why? Well, they say a lot of stuff. But look at their fruit. What did Jesus say? You'll know them by how? Their fruit. Watch the fruit. Look what happens in people's lives. You know, this happens all the time. You hear people say, well, God's called me to teach, or God's called me to preach. Well, where's the fruit? You know what I'm saying by that? In other words, if God's called you, well, let God do it. If God's called you, then God will do it. I'm just saying just the basic fundamental A, B's, and C's of Christianity and what Paul's saying here. God's going to work, and God, if God calls a person, he'll anoint the person, and he'll do it. Faithful is he that calls you, who what? Who will also do it. If God's called you, God will do it. I don't have to look to somebody else to do it for me, or I don't need anybody else's help. God will be the one that does that and validates that. So it's not a matter of what a person says or what they feel. Where's the evidence of the Holy Spirit moving through their life? That's the ultimate validation of ministry, bearing, you know, Christ through the vessel. And then finally, look also, and the third thing I want to point out is he's transforming the hearts of the individuals that he's ministering to. Paul says it in verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. We're the vessels, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. God moved through us when we came and preached, not on tables of stone, but on tables of the flesh, that is the heart. In other words, these Judaizers that were coming behind Paul, these legalists, they were trying to get people to conform to what they demanded on the outward. There was no changed lives. There was no changed heart. In other words, God impacts the heart. If the heart's changed, the life will change. But there's a lot of stuff out there that is in some ways designed to change the behavior of a person. A lot of counseling today that goes under this, in my opinion, the disguise of Christianity. Christian counseling. A lot of it is simply doing it's trying to modify the outward behavior. That's not biblical. What do you do when you modify outward behavior without modifying the heart? You make a bunch of Pharisees. You get a people that look outwardly okay, but inside there's not the change. What is Paul saying in verse 3? The Holy Spirit moved through us. How did he move? In the hearts of these people. God touched the heart. God got to the very core of the individuals. Again, isn't that proof of legitimate biblical ministry? God moving through me, Paul said, and touched the hearts of the people of Corinth. You know, and moved in those hearts and transformed those hearts and drew those people to Christ, and they gave their life to Christ. They were brought out of all kind of darkness and wickedness. And that's what he says in verse 3 again. Let's read that. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone or external things, not on legalistic rules, but on tables of flesh, that is, of the heart. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 says, "But this shall be my..." And this again, in Jeremiah 31:31, God's referring to a new covenant. And he said, here's the deal. The new covenant is not external, written on tables of stone. It's going to be written in people's hearts. That's what he's saying here. So in verse 33 of chapter 31 of Jeremiah, "This shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." I was going to write it in their hearts. And Paul is saying, look, how are you changed? From the outside in or from the inside out? That's what he's saying. You were changed from the inside out. God changed your heart, and that transformed heart caused you to change your behavior and your actions. If we're working on just the outward behavior, and a lot of people, when they're ministering, they just work on the outward. They try to get people to do something, like start reading your Bible or start going to church or whatever. Our goal should be the heart. Our aim should be the heart. Our focus should be the heart. Because if the heart's not changed, we're wasting our time. That outward change will just be making Pharisees that'll do all this stuff perhaps if they keep it up, but no inward change. And that's exactly what the Pharisees. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are those that like graves. You appear outwardly really nice, like nice graves, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You know, and he was talking about the outward. You look, you do a lot of outward stuff, but inside. And so his point is the legitimate ministry is affecting the hearts of the people. The inner core of who they were. That's the proof of ministry. Now look what Paul says in verses 4 through 6. Our confidence is of God. Verse 4, and we have such trust through Christ, the God word, he says in verse 4. What is he saying there? He's saying we're looking not to you to validate my ministry, I'm looking to God. My eyes are on the Lord. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, let me say this. The dichotomy here that I sense or I feel, I know I struggle with sometimes. You want to know that the Lord's working, right? You want to know that God's moved or that God's doing stuff. So when you're doing things or you're sharing or you're witnessing or you're teaching, you want to be effective in doing that. And so oftentimes you're looking at people to wonder, is it making an impact, right? That's a very natural response. But let me say this. You have to be careful that way. You got to be very careful that you're not getting kudos from people. But rather we go to the Lord. The Lord's the one who validates our ministry. That's what Paul is saying here, and again in verse 4. We have such trust through Christ toward God. Our validation, we're looking to God to validate our ministry. We're looking to God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't care what you think. It's a very small thing that I'm judged by you. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. There's one that judges me. I think there's a verse that comes up. Oh, yeah, it's coming up. Oh, I've already got that, haven't I? Yeah, there we go. 1 Corinthians 4:4, what does Paul say? For I know nothing against myself. In other words, I can't think of anything in my personal life that I could say is wrong about my ministry. Then he says, yet I'm not justified by this. Just because I don't see anything wrong doesn't mean there's nothing wrong. Every way of a man's right in his own eyes, right? But the Lord judges the heart. But then he goes on to say, but he who judges me is the Lord. That's important. What is he saying? You can't even judge yourself. I mean, based upon Jeremiah's life, he was a complete and utter failure. You know, why? Because he totally failed. I mean, where's the converts? How much impact did he make turning Jerusalem and Judah to the Lord? Zero. Was his ministry a failure? Absolutely not. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. And so here's my point. If he's looking to people, if he wants validation, he's just saying, am I effective? He'll be very disappointed, very discouraged, very depressed. And he was very depressed. I mean, think about it like this. His whole goal was to cause Israel to see the Lord, to turn to the Lord, to stop their idol worship. When the Babylonians came, his whole goal was do not fight these guys, surrender to them. And all they said was, you're a traitor. What kind of prophet are you wanting us to surrender? What prophet has there ever been in the history of the nation that has told us to surrender to our enemies? And yet you're telling us surrender. So he's very discouraged. You know, and let me say this right here. There's no way you can minister and you can go into ministry and not be discouraged. There are all kinds of discouragements. I mean, it's frustrating at times. You always feel like a failure. You know, you meet with people, talk to people, you encourage them to follow the Lord, and then they don't. And then you figure, what could I have said or done? You know, other, short of anointing them with a brick. Like you could have anointed them with a brick. But I'm not sure that's what the Lord would do. It just goes with the territory. But here's my point. We have to look to the Lord. If we're looking to people and we want validation for people, you will constantly be discouraged. You're going to run into the people of Corinth looking at Paul saying, well, by the way, Paul, we got a bunch of guys that we really respect. We like these guys. And they're telling us you're a fraud. Well, you can believe whatever you want, you know, but It's really a challenge, but that's what Paul is going through himself. That's what he's saying in that verse. Now, also, look what he says in verse 5. He says, we're not looking to ourselves to validate our ministry. Look at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves. I don't validate my own ministry. Do you see my point? Or another way to say this, the person that's validating their own ministry has got a real issue. It's like, if your validation of ministry is what is your standard, that's not good enough. I mean, what's your validation? You have feelings? I feel this. That's, you know, the Lord's got to do that. And that's what Paul is saying. We can't validate. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, here's what he says. For I know nothing against myself, yet am I not justified by this. So what he's saying is this. I can't think of anything I'm doing wrong, but I can't say that based upon my evaluation, I'm okay with God. That's what he's saying. But why? It's God that judges. It's God that makes the decision. It's God that validates. We always have to look to the Lord. I mean, you can go out there and do something, and you can be an absolute, in the world's eyes, complete failure. And God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You can go out here and do things, and in the world's eyes, you are amazing and unbelievable. And God says, you're a failure. The Bible says, don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous justice. Don't look by what. How does the world judge things today? All kinds of ways. I think what we have now in Christianity, I call it outcome-based Christianity. Outcome-based Christianity is when you want an outcome, and the outcome people want today is big. So they oftentimes do whatever they need to do to make it big. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with big in and of itself, if God's doing it. But there's an outcome-based Christianity, and the outcome-based Christianity is we'll just make sure no one's offended, no one's upset, no one's convicted. We want to make sure everybody's comfortable and you don't say anything that's going to offend anybody. And so, you know, and that's called outcome-based Christianity. We'll design the service based on what you want. You tell us what you want and we'll do it. That's called outcome-based Christianity. And I'm saying a lot of movement within churches today are based upon that. As opposed to doing what? Going to the scriptures and saying, what does God say we're supposed to do? What does God want? And we do what we do to please God. And whether people like it or not, that's, you know, their problem almost, you know. You know what I mean by that. You know, as we're here to honor the Lord, God's the one who validates. That's what Paul is saying here. We're not looking for ourselves for validation. We're not saying, well done. We pat ourselves on the back saying, that's such a marvelous job. You're such a great individual, you know. And I think some people, you know, they stand there in the mirror and they think about how wonderful they are and how great they are. And, you know, it's like American Idol, you know, and they're out there going, I'm just amazed, just an amazing individual. What did Paul say? I'm a worm and no man. Or Job said that, you know. I mean, who are we? You know, Paul said what? I'm less than the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. So I'm just saying that because we're not looking to ourselves for validation. If you do that, you know, you got a problem. Either you're never going to be validated and you may be needing to be validated, or you're going to validate yourself and you shouldn't. Then look in verse 6, finally. God's the one who ultimately enables us to be effective. Verse 6, let's look in verse 5, the end of it is, but our sufficiency is of God. God's the one we're looking to validate our ministry. As a matter of fact, what Paul is saying here, in effect, is to the church. He's teaching the church. He's not just validating his ministry. He's not just defending his ministry. He's teaching the Corinthians how to look for a legitimate ministry. Don't just look for a guy coming with some, you know, letters of, you know, recommendation from somebody. Don't just look for somebody to come and say, I am this and God told me that. Look for the Holy Spirit working through the vessel. That's the true validation of God. And so ultimately in verse 6, God is the one, he says, our sufficiency is of God, verse 6, who also has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Notice that. I'm not made myself. I'm not a self-made whatever. God made me this. God called me to do this. What does he say in chapter, you know, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, verse 1. I'm who I am by the grace of God. That's what he says here in verse 6. Who made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. God did that. Not of the letter. Not of the outward. Not because I've got a letter of validation or I graduated from this or I've got some degree by my name or whatever it may be. That's what he says, not of the letter. I'm not talking about the pharisaical validation. You know, the pharisaical validation is of, you know, we're trying to get approval. We're trying to, you know, it's like you pat each other on the back and talk about how wonderful we are in our little club. And that's what he means in verse 6. Who made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? Look what he says in verse 6. For the letter kills. You see, the letter's fake. The letter's illegitimate. The letter is outward. The letter is visual. The letter is man-approved and man-centered and man-focused and man-validation. It's the letter. It's a pharisaical. Has nothing to do with the Spirit. Why? The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. When the Holy Spirit moves, the Holy Spirit gives life. That's what his job is. And then he makes that statement. Ultimately, through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through legalism, not of the letter, not through legalistic, not because you guys demand that I jump through these hoops, not because I'm trying to please you and satisfy what your requirements are, but ultimately God. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, ultimately is what he's saying there. So he says in verse 6 again, who made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And isn't that all of what he's been saying the whole time? When I came into Corinth, what happened? The Spirit moved. The Holy Ghost moved. I just preached the gospel. He says later on, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't come to you with you with wisdom. I didn't come to you with man's wisdom, trying to impress you or try to, you know, sort of, wow, look at this amazing man. He just came and preached the gospel. He was completely dependent on God moving. He basically said, if God doesn't move, we're done. If God doesn't move here, what's the use of me being here? And you and I need to understand that. We need to depend on the Lord to validate our ministry, to move through our lives, to impact the lives of those who are around us. God's got to move. If God doesn't move, we're done. God's got to build a house. And that's what he's saying here in a way when he says the Spirit gives life. So when I preached, you know, when I ministered, when I got up there, you know, the Lord moved and the Spirit of God began to convict and you began to have your eyes open and you began to brought out of darkness and those demons that were oppressing you and enslaving you for all those years where the power was defeated because of Christ. And all of a sudden you found yourself listening and being drawn to it and listening and hunger for it. And all of a sudden you came and you gave yourself to Jesus. And what happened when you did that? Your life was transformed. You were new creations. Why? The Spirit gives life. The letter, the outward demands of these guys, that kills. That's just nothing but outward. That's like saying, I'm a Christian, refuse to exactly do what Jesus wants me to do. That's like taking a person's word for it instead of looking at their lives. It's the Spirit that gives life. We're looking for the evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in people's lives. That's really what he's saying there. So Paul is really, in a way, turning it back on themselves and saying, you guys tell me, were you or weren't you changed when I came and preached the gospel? Was what happened to you fake? Or was it a real transformed life and heart? Did the Holy Spirit move? Or didn't he move? Well, there you go. In other words, are you listening to what these guys are saying so much, you're really not thinking about all that? You're just so caught up in, well, Paul didn't have any letter. He never brought a letter to us saying that he was legit. Like, who cares? God moved. Let's pray. Father, this evening as we close our study, we thank you that you are the one that validates all of our ministries, all of our callings. You're the one that we look to you, and may we look to you. May we truly keep our eyes on you and listen to you and respond to you. There are times in our lives we feel greatly discouraged. And when we look to you, you just pat us on the back. You encourage us. You say, well done, good and faithful servant. You just do what I tell you to do. I'll take care of the rest. There's other times we feel so good about everything, and we look up and you're going, man, you blew it again. So I pray we would be in the Spirit. We would recognize the true signs of calling and ministry And that is the Holy Spirit moving through vessels, not because of someone says they're called, not because someone wants to do this, but because the Holy Spirit moves. It's like when Paul does what he's called to do, God works. And that's the proof. That's the ultimate proof of anybody's ministry. And so I pray that we would understand the argument here. Paul is laying it out so clearly to us. And I think in some ways, so much of today's Christianity is based upon the outward appearance. What appears to people to be validation. But we want and must have you and only you validate our ministry. As Paul said, I don't even judge myself. Even what I think about myself, I don't find any fault in myself, and that doesn't. But that doesn't mean there aren't. There's nothing. It's the Lord that judges, because He sees beyond what I can see. He knows more than I know. We must be approved by God, ultimately, and that approval is God's blessing, God's anointing, God's Spirit moving through us, God's work done through us. Real ministry, true ministry, is the Spirit moving through the vessel. We're just vessels of clay. And we thank you that you do that and you want to use us. And every single one of us as believers has the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Every single one of us has ministry. It may not be a formal ministry, but all of us are ministers of the gospel. All of us have been called to follow Christ. All of us are said and told by Jesus to be salt and to be light. In our homes, in our families, in our jobs, in our schools, in our businesses, in our communities. We all have an extremely important ministry. And we want that validation not to be because we're trying to appear to be something we're not. We want it to be the Holy Spirit moving through us to touch our neighbors, to touch our friends, to touch our family members, to impact the lives of those around us. And I pray that you would teach us as individual ministers of the gospel to ultimately depend upon and look to you to do just that. Because we can't do it. We can't do that. Only you can do that. And I pray that we would recognize the difference between true and false, between the letter that kills and the Spirit that gives life. And I pray that we could be able, as Paul said, able ministers of the new covenant. We want to be effective. We want to be able. We want to be empowered ministers. So that when we do what we do, the Spirit of God moves. That's all we're asking. That's ministry. In Jesus' name. Amen.